Blog Talk Radio.
Her many various degrees include a BS
from Tennessee State University, a certificate in real estate development in 19 from the University of Southern California. In 1998, she received her master's theology from the Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. In 2005, she returned to Fuller to earn the Doctor of Ministry. In 2001, Dr. Union earned a certificate in economic development from Harvard University. That's powerful. We're talking about a doctor. So I'm going to do something that I need to do because I'm really anticipating the move of God on today and really looking for us to tell you about the principles of stewardship, because that's what we're talking about. And so I wanted to be able to address some issues about what we are looking for, the church, the leaders, those of you that may have experienced being in church through all your life. You may have been raised in church. Some of my guests that I've had on my life have not been raised in church. So it's just a various of numbers of people that we have that come on the show that tell their experience, how they became involved in the ministry, when the Lord called them, the gifts that we have, and how we come to know how to operate in those gifts. So I just want to bring a guest on the line on today, Dr. Arthur Thelma Union. Dr. Thelma, are you on the line? Dr. Thelma?
Yes, now that I'm unmuted, I've been here. I just waited for you to unmute me. I'm here.
It's quite okay. I didn't recognize your number, but that's all right. So we have Arthur, Dr. Thelma in the house on the day, and it's just a pleasure. We talked to him yesterday about some things, but today specifically, we were going to tell you or show you, and she's going to teach us a lot of things about the principle of stewardship. I don't know if you've seen my book today, I did put something on there phenomenal, something that everybody wants, and that's money.
Yeah, I heard you say, save money. But we need money. We need it.
Yes.
The book of Ecclesiastes says that money answers all things.
Awesome. Well, then you're in at the right time. I'm going to yield myself and allow this woman of God to come in and just give us what she has. Thank you, Dr. Thelma.
Yeah, but you can't leave me, Joy, because I need you. I need Joy to stay in the house in order for us to do what needs to be done here. Okay. So I'm really excited because as I was writing today, the Lord gave me, he says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And the lack of knowledge is not information, but it's what God says and how, and the knowledge we gain when we get in agreement with what's in his word and not only hear it intellectually, but feel it in our heart and operate in our spirit, which then takes us to where God has called us to be. And that's when we get the knowledge, real knowledge, not information, because we got information overload. This is the generation of information. In the days I grew up, World Book Encyclopedia was where we got our information from, or Britannica if your family was well off. Well, now you can Google anything. And all this. Exactly. And you know what I'm saying? Because we had World Book and was happy to get that because I've always just wanted to learn and to study and to know more. And the more I study, the more I know I don't know. And I hope that makes sense to people, but I think it sort of comes with maturity. When, you know, as you get older, you realize, man, when I was 17, 18, 19, 20, 25, 30, I thought I knew everything. And I mm-hmm. could tell you, I could tell everybody what was going on everywhere, because that was where my head was at that point in time. Little did I know how little that I knew.
That's
but
true.
The book of Ecclesiastes, Joy, says that money answers all things. I think it's 10:1, and what God is saying, that there has mm-hmm. to be some money is simply a medium of exchange. And a medium of exchange says that I can put a value on what you offer me, and I can give you money in exchange for what you offer me, whether it's goods, products, or services. And now we have a simple way of trading it. Before money, they had bartering, and they would bring cattle, and they would bring sheep and goats and exchange it for wheat and bread and wine and all that. So understand, money is not bad in and of itself, but it's what we do with the money. What is our motives for taking the money? I was real active member of a church at one point, and the pastor, I said, well, Pastor, if we win the lottery, would you take the money? He said, yep. And I thought, oh, so why would you take the money versus some people say they wouldn't take the money? He said, because the money in and of itself has no good or bad connected with it. It's what you do with it that makes the difference. And I was like, okay. So I need to study a little further, and being an accountant and working in finance and tax and balance sheets and all that, I began to pursue what is God really saying to us about money in Scripture. Well, there's a whole lot. He says that you should pay your taxes when they try to trick him with why should we pay taxes to Caesar? And they thought they were asking Jesus a political question. But what they really got in a response from him was a spiritual answer. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God. And he first told them, look at whose picture's on the coin in your hand. And they said, Caesar's. He said, well, then give him his, and then give me mine. And that's where we run into problems, determining what should we render unto Caesar and what's valuable enough for us to give our hard-earned money and or time, talent, and treasure. I always say that about tithing. What's worth it? And we all have values established based on where we grew up, our culture, and how our family thought about money is usually the way we think about money. And how we wield it or trade it will vary according to environment, how much we had. And everybody knows that. You know, you got a lot, you usually spend a lot. That's why oftentimes when athletes earn a lot of money, they get broke real fast because they haven't learned how to be stewards. So I'm like, okay, God, he said, start with Psalm 24:1. And that is that God owns everything, including you. So ownership is not ours. Stewardship is the task and assignment that we've been given with whatever it is that God has blessed us with, from our talent to the time and to the treasure that he puts in our hands. So Psalm 24:1 reads specifically, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. So that's one that usually throws off people, especially like me. I'm like, I own my own business. I started this business. I bought this business. I worked to build this business. I mean, I sounded like Nebuchadnezzar. You know, oh, I've done this and I've done that. And God was like, no, you didn't. I was like, huh? Because, see, I don't know what kind of relation. Go ahead, Joy. I'm sorry.
This is personal experiences.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have a lot of those with God because it's like he just snatches me into things and say, all right, now do it. Deal with it. Go with it. And I'm saying, okay, we don't like it when he snatches us into different things. We feel pretty good when he puts us into something that we think we know about and we can take advantage. So this is me. But he says that I own everything. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says, you were bought, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we don't own anything. Our spirit is going back to where it came from. God was the source of everything, and he resourced us to the earth for a season and gives us the resources that we have to work with and teaches us how to use them. The quality of your stewardship will determine how well you live on this earth. And most certainly when you get to heaven, none of this will be an issue. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. It makes more than sense.
Okay. All right. But now, what is a steward? And we know about the parables, where mm-hmm. the parable of the talents, where mm-hmm. three men had talents, and each one was, one was given 10, one was given 5, and the other one was given 1. And in some translations, it was 5, 3, and 1. But the person who had the largest amount of talents, whether it was 5 or 3, doubled the gift that he had been given. He doubled the money. He doubled the investment. And the guy who had the 5 or the 3, depending on which version of that you're dealing with, and is he doubled his. So he was a good steward over what God had given him. But the person who received the 1 talent, and I'm presuming it is a guy, they said man, so we can just pretty much assume that it was a male. But it may or may not have been. The Bible doesn't really clarify that. Could have been a woman, we don't know. But what we do know, and this is so it's not confusing, that patriarchy was dominant in the culture of the day. That means patriarchy is fatherhood and male domination, which is not a problem, except when you read scripture, you need to read it from that perspective. Okay, maybe man, baby, it's not confusing. It's that's who wrote the book, and they're going to write the book that tells the story about themselves. Just like we're starting to write books and tell stories as a people in the United States, not only African Americans, but women as well. And now even children are writing books about their stories. So life is just moving right along. But what is stewardship? Now, if we went to the garden, we would see that God gave humanity, and that's Adam and Eve together, work. Before he separated them so that Adam and Eve could work the garden. We are stewards of the gospel, managing that which belongs to another. That's what stewardship is. So if it belongs to God, he's going to expect us to be accountable for it, whatever he's given us. So if we're wasting our talent without checking with God, without even trying to understand what he sent us here to do, then we're in for some difficult times. But 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And in the New Living Translation, it says, so look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's secrets. And I could say, so look at Joy and Velma, and we're mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's secrets. Well, he's revealed some things to us, and we're able to reveal them to you and to all his children. And that's how we are blessed, is as a result of it.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll continue because, you know, I can talk forever and I like to be careful with that. But
well, you know,
we are stewards of the well.
What you're doing today, and don't think it's just talking, you're really opening up understanding to us, because right now where the body of Christ is, there need to be some clarity and understanding about tithing, about giving offering, about stewardship, like you said, about ownership. That is needed, because I think right now it's on the scale, but it's not where it should be. Now, I've been
right.
in church all my life, and I was thinking about something before the broadcast came on. I was thinking about you. I said, now, we have a woman of God that has literally been educated in finances. So you're more than qualified and capable. Not only that, God has given a gift to you. So we're here to hear, how do we get out of the place we are to advance where we're supposed to be? And that's why I put some things on the thing, because I've been tithing for a long time, Dr. Velma.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I know about tithing. I understand tithing. But do I think I've really been, I'm going to use this word, compensated, materialistic, gained, of my citizenship? I have, in a sense, but I have not used it properly. So I can't say that God has not blessed me.
Yeah.
So that would be
Yeah. We all have to learn how to be good stewards. And most
mm-hmm.
of us don't learn that early on. A lot of us grew up in houses where there was lack, so our mentality is lack. But God told me that the opposite of love is not hate. It's lack. It's lack of knowledge and lack back to information and understanding in order to manage whatever he puts in your hands. Because if you do it the way he tells you, you get what he promised. God does not keep God's promises. Does that make sense? But we haven't been taught. We've been taught, you know, pay $100 for a pair of shoes and then don't feed your kids. I mean, there's a lot of mindset in our community that are unhealthy. And we have to first recognize them, realize that they're unhealthy, and then be willing to fight to give them up so that we can move out of a wrong position into a right position, if that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you. That makes plenty of sense. Yeah.
Okay, so what was that clapping? Somebody's clapping?
We got an audience.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, now. You go, Joy. But remember, God's principle is managing that which belongs to another, and it's God's, not yours. You are, and you will give an account for what
yeah.
you do with what he gave you. You, me, and everybody. So I'm not excluding myself. Maybe I should have said, we will give an account.
Yeah.
We will give an account. Are you with me? But we always think in terms of stewardship as money. But
yeah.
there's some other things involved. And another one of the principles of stewardship is relationships.
Mm-hmm.
There is a relationship between what we have and the grace of God. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." See, God promised in the book of Deuteronomy. And for those
mm-hmm.
who are Bible scholars that are listening, Deuteronomy is the law restated. Remember when Moses was on Mount Sinai and God gave him the Ten Commandments and the people sort of upset him and he broke them?
So then we have Genesis, we have Exodus, when they came out, and then we have Leviticus, which is the law, and then we have Numbers, which is the census and the counting of the children of Israel as they walk through the desert, and then we have Deuteronomy. Deuto means two, like dual, do. And it was this Deuteronomy replaced the book of Leviticus in a different way. It wasn't a law by law, but it was phrased in a different way. So Deuteronomy 8:18 says, remember the Lord your God. We're stewards over his stuff. So he gives us power to get wealth that we might establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So he gave us a talent, a gift, a skill. They're not unto repentance. He does not take them back. And oftentimes we utilize them, but not in a way that honors God. So therefore, we don't get the fruit that God says. And, you know, we have to learn. And you acknowledge, I know I've repented so many times for just doing dumb stuff. And I didn't even think about it until it was over with. And then I realized, oh, that was dumb. But it was done already. But one lesson I learned from a brother that wrote a book called Ecosonomics. And in that book, he said that just like you made a bad choice, you can make a good one. So you don't have to stay stuck in the bad choice. You can make a good choice to come out of whatever the results are from that bad choice. You can repent. You can forgive whoever was involved with you, including yourself, which is the hardest person I might add to forgive. And then you can move to what God intended for you. Is that making sense, Miss Joy?
Yes, and we're going to take a break for a commercial, but I want to ask you something before I do that and then elaborate on it. That Old Testament, I know you are giving us some scripture and some feedback on that, but isn't it taught that the Old Testament does not apply to the church? And just hold that for a minute.
Okay, now you gave me a wonderful question. I love it.
This is a Queen Bander Power Nugget.
Did you know that we have to keep first things first? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 lets us know, I exhort, desire, instruct, therefore, that first, supplication, prayer, coming together, a conversation, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, presidents, and all who are in authority. Why? For this is good, beautiful, honorable, in the sight, in the presence.
Okay, we are back with the pastors for Punk TV Studio. Our CEO is Joseph Collins. This is one of the reasons why we have this talk show, because we want our pastors to know that they're welcome to come on our show. This is the Blog Talk Radio Show, but we're getting ready to also open up our television show for our pastors, and I wanted them to come on, so I can begin to get familiar with them, talk to them, because we want to do documentary on the churches. And exactly, when I say churches, I'm not excluding all churches, but especially the Black churches, because our history is kind of drilling away from us, and somebody needs to know, how did our church get started? What's the culture of the original a spiritual old Baptist church, Pentecostal? How did we come into a place where we singing all these spiritual songs? Why did we dance? Why did we shout? Why did we give? Why did we listen to our preachers for hours? Why did we lay hands on one another? Why did we fall out? What is it about the 5-4 ministry? These things we need to leave into a hand of our millennials, because they have, I can't say no clue, But it's not like they should know. It could be a better foundation that we're leaving for them. So I have someone on the line now, our Arthur Velma Union, that is talking about stewardship in the body of Christ. Okay, Dr. Velma.
Okay, I looked up. See, what we should understand about Scripture is that the Old Testament was pointing to Christ's coming as a result of the sin that happened in Genesis chapter 3 to redeem us from the curse of the law. So there's God, we could talk forever, but quickly, the Scripture in Matthew, which is the New Testament, first book of the New Testament, as it's phrased, but it's not necessarily the first book written. Scholars think that's Mark. But it says, Matthew 5, verse 17 through 20, says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets," in answer to your question before we hung up. "I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a jot, not a tittle will pass from the law until it's all done." So Jesus is saying, he says, if I said it was going to come to pass, and that was the word that God used to speak it into existence, then it will come to pass. So we have to understand that the old prophesied Jesus coming, and the new Jesus was here. So he said, I came to fulfill all that, that you couldn't do on your own, because we couldn't fulfill the law. If you break one part of it, you already broke the whole thing. That's the way it was set up. So, you know, I hope that answers the question, that Jesus came to fulfill the law in the new. And I don't think people understand sometimes the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament, because the Old Testament was the story of a family. It was the law, and it's divided into the law and the prophets and the history of a family out of Israel. That's Abraham, seed, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and that was a family over in the Middle East. But it also had the prophets, where God was disgusted and trying to warn people and telling people what to do, what not to do, change, don't change. And they didn't, and so therefore Christ was already scheduled to come when he came and to fulfill the whole law. So that's why the Scripture tells us that in the fullness of time had come. In other words, every sin that could possibly be committed was already committed. So now Jesus could die for all of them once that had actually gone down. Does that make sense?
Yes, and that was Matthew 5.
5:17 through 20.
Thank you.
Uh huh. Now, one of the next stewardship principles is the principle of lordship. First, we have ownership. We don't own anything God owns at all. We're stewards. That means managing that which belongs to another. Relationship. Christ, in some places, said, "I no longer call you servants. I call you friends." Because there was an intimacy of trust that had developed when we spend the time with Christ, getting to know Christ better and the Christ in us better. Because it talks about Christ in us is the hope of glory. If we're ever going to do anything of value, it comes through Christ in us. But the next one is lordship. Because the tithe is the Lord's, giving it to the Lord is an issue of lordship. And we talked about that tithe, didn't we? We talked about giving the tithes, paying the tithes, and the benefits that come from it. Leviticus chapter 27, that's the law, 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed or the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to God. I went to a church one time, and they had a note in the offering plate that said, "Have you stolen God's money?" And I was like, "What? We have thieves sitting in our midst." And it took me a minute to get the understanding of it, but it was like, ouch, what exactly did that mean? And it says that if you don't give God what's his, and really and truly the Old Testament Malachi gave us a minimum. He said, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And the scripture said, through Malachi, in tithes and offerings. He's one of those prophets that we were talking about, the law and the prophets that Jesus came to fulfill. So what are we saying? We're saying that the tithe belongs to the Lord. In fact, everything is his. That's where we started. But he gives us the opportunity to pay him or to return to him 10% because he's our Lord and our Savior. And that's what you do, is you honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase, and that's the 10% tithe in the Old Testament. Now flip to the New. Jesus said, let each... Go ahead.
I want to ask you something, because you just sparked something. Okay. The 10th, so just imagine if the body of Christ really understood and knew what the 10th would do if we collectively, the group, really gave 10% of our tithes. And of course, you said all the time that the majority of the church don't really give 10. They have a percentage that you are honestly giving 10.
Right.
And I guess why he doesn't mind you having things, but just give me mine first. And if everyone had that principle down, then I would say we probably would be able to do what we need to do in the church.
Well, Malachi 3:10, absolutely. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the wisdom of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that you won't even have room enough to receive it all. That's the responsibility of the church. We're to give that 10%, according to Malachi, to the church. If everybody tithes, we'd have banks, we'd have companies, we'd have nurseries, we'd have fields with food. There's nothing that was needed that we wouldn't have. But we know that's not happening.
It would be just so blessed, abundantly more.
You won't have enough room to receive it all.
I'm so happy to keep giving because we just got so much.
And you know, there was an instance of that in the Old Testament where they told the people stop giving. They were rebuilding the wall in the book of Nehemiah, and he said the people had a mind to work. And they brought resources and resources and resources, and the wall was rebuilt, and everything was operating according to God's plan. So he had to tell them to stop, don't bring no more. Wouldn't that be delightful to be able to say, we have everything we need? So therefore, you don't have to bring any more? And I was like, Lord, I would love to see that in my day, in my time.
Exactly.
Participate in it in whatever way you see fit.
Yes.
Make sense?
Yes, that's awesome.
And the last principle that, you know, because these are six principles that I just sort of pulled out, that is when you invest in eternity, partnership, you have a partner who will guarantee a return. Now with the stock market up, down, the Dow Jones average here, NASDAQ closing, those are the stock market companies that organize and or sell and buy, that we buy stock through, and they report all the gains and losses in the stock market. But Matthew 6:19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, that is so packed because we see about killing, we see about robbing, we see about break-ins, we see banks getting robbed, stores getting robbed, individuals getting robbed. And God is saying, all of this is what it is, but somebody can take that from you. But if you invest in the kingdom, you invest in the kingdom, you're investing in eternity. And you can rest assured that God always gives what God said God would give. So we have a guaranteed return on any money that we invest in heaven. Does that make I'm asking, does it make sense? Because I know a lot of times I think about things, and one of my friends said, you talk over people's heads. And I'm like, well, I'm not trying to do that. And so I said, well, maybe I'm talking over people's heads, so I want to get some type of a affirmation that people get what's needed. Because, you know, you can just drop stuff, and if it falls to the ground and dies, it won't bear fruit. But my prayer is that whatever it is God has me operating on or working through or teaching or giving, that it gets fruit. And whatever the fruit is that God has ordained, and we know that the Bible said that the fruit will remain, and it'll be some 60, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold returns on that which we invest in the kingdom of God.
Now, that return is the return of the natural things or spiritual return of things?
But I'm thinking if it, they said in heaven,
okay,
then it's going to be spiritual. You know, it's going to be spiritual.
Okay.
But also, if we're good stewards, we're going to be fine here. Because he told us in Malachi, pay yours, and you don't have to worry about anything. He told us in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, your clothes, your house, your car, your food, will all be added unto you. So that means you don't have to scratch, fight for it. Yeah, you got it.
That's it. And I was thinking, this is like you was pulling it out your mouth. My mind, my fingers is flipping back to those page right at the time when you started saying it.
There you go.
So it is
supply
the need that we need here because seek him and he's all these things to be added unto you. So he said, well, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow, prepare the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
There you go. There you go. And see, remember, and this is something that a lot of people don't think about, is that the tithe is the minimum, the offering, which is what Jesus talks about, says, let every man give as he purposes in his heart. So do I want to give God the minimum and expect the maximum, or do I want to give the God the maximum and expect whatever return he gives me, which he described as being a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom in Luke chapter 6. So we should understand, if you haven't paid your tithe, you ain't giving an offering. That's something that throws a lot of people off, and they don't like it. Because I know I didn't at first. See, I guess I'm probably one of the worst. Oh, I understand what Paul was saying when he said, I'm the chief of sinners. Because my flesh wants to do what it wants to do. And it does not want to do what the Bible says. So that means the Holy Spirit has to enable, empower, and cause me to do what's right. Because my desire is to do what's right. But I need help with it, and God always gives us the help we need to do what he called us to do. And he knows when we need help and when we're, I heard this guy say the best way to describe this is, it's one thing to walk to a cliff and fall off, but it's another one to walk off it and jump.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, that's kind of scary, isn't it? I was like, okay, who would jump off a cliff? You know,
yeah.
Slide, okay, maybe. And
I'm going to do another commercial, and we're going to come back, and I want you to continue on the principles of stewardship. Is that all right?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
This is a Queen Bander Power Nugget.
Did you know that it is by design that we aspire for greatness? Don't allow fear or insecurity to delay the inevitable. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 lets us know you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world.
Okay, Dr. Velma?
Yes, ma'am.
You're back, and thank you again for waiting for us. Now, we do have listeners on our line, and sometimes we just want to listen, because I did go off and just make sure they were available if they had a question. But I just think they're just enjoying what you're saying. So you can just go ahead and continue on. We have maybe about another 10 minutes before this show will be over, but I don't know if this is finished or not.
Okay. Well, I don't think we're ever finished, but we just have to stop, because it's an awful lot. It's like, you know, when you have a plate of steak and lobster, if you happen to like that, or prime rib at Laurie's, you eat and you can make yourself sick if you don't stop eating at the right time, if that makes sense. But I wanted to say something a little bit about our organization. One Life International is a public benefit nonprofit corporation, and it is the social enterprise arm of the work that God has called me to do. The Lord's Church is the church, and it belongs to the Lord, so we don't put our name on it. We put His name on it, which is where you started this conversation today, that we are the church individually. And the definition for church is ecclesia, the called out one. So God mm-hmm. has called us out of the world and whatever lifestyles we've been in to become a part of the bride of Christ. And that is just so profound. It's mind-blowing. And then I have a financial services company, which I just provide taxes, IRS problem resolution, and that kind of thing. Website, One Light International, spell it out, international.org. Then my phone number is 323-673-8185. And our Bible study, which is what God has relegated us to doing instead of trying to entertain people, is to help people study. And we study together. You can ask questions. You can have dialogue right on the spot. It's Sundays at 10 o'clock at 601 Gray Street. That's in Inglewood. 9-0-3-0-5. And if you have problems, you can call me. My phone number is 310-968-5110. I just figured I'd get that in because there's three different services that we provide. One is for public benefit. One is benefit of your spirit. The other one, stewardship over your money. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. So let's go back over the six principles of stewardship that we've already covered. First, Psalm 24:1, God owns everything. He owns it all. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those that dwell therein. The next principle is God owns every Christian. So not only does he own the things and stuff in the world, but he owns the people in the world too. And that is us. And Christ paid for us on the cross. So he says, then glorify God with your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. Well, we know our spirit is connected with God and communicates directly to God. So we need to understand that that communication only takes place if we're listening to God, not through our flesh, because the carnal mind can't understand spiritual things, but through his word and through our fellowship with the Holy Spirit and one another. That's why we're encouraged to go to some type of fellowship where there's people of like precious faith that love the Lord and want to do what God has called us to do, because that's how we can influence one another and keep each other accountable. Managing that which belongs to another, that's the definition for stewardship. We are stewards of the gospel, the good news. What's the good news? Christ died for you. He died so that you could have life and that more abundantly. And my question to God was, well, why is everybody struggling? He said, because they are trying to live my life by their rules and it never works. You need to ask me. You need to check with me. And I will tell you exactly what to do. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So look at Joy and look at Velma. We're mere servants of Christ and all those who serve Christ, who have been put in charge of explaining God's secrets. He reveals secrets to us when we can be trusted with them. Have you ever told somebody a secret and before you got to the next stop, they had already told someone? Hello. I don't trust everybody with my secrets because I know that they'll throw my pearls before swine, and that is not good stewardship. We are also stewards of not only the gospel, but we're stewards of our spiritual gifts. And the gifts is a whole nother teaching. But whatever God has given us in the way of a talent, my spiritual gift is teaching and encouraging and preaching. And I think God has just given me a special gift to love people, even when they're raggedy and crazy, because I know how I was. And it's real easy for me to love people no matter what's going on. And I'm just now learning after all these years how to manage that love, because I didn't know when to give it, when not to give it, because my natural proclivity was to give it. And God is saying, no, you do what I tell you. You check in. You belong to me. You work for me. And if you do what I tell you, all the life and godliness that I have given you will be yours to operate in. And I kid you not, since I began to think about it, the warfare breaks out. You would think, I'm like, God, seems like to me you could make this a little easier. We try to be good stewards here, and we're just struggling like a big dog. And he's like, yeah, I know. So that means you have to ask me. Yeah. You have to ask me what
right.
to do with the gifts that I've given you. And he says, 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as we are doing here today, as good
yes.
stewards of the manifold grace of God. Wow.
Manifold
means it's a whole bunch of different phases of the grace of God. And as we share with one another, we all grow.
Yes,
if I keep mine and don't, and we talked about the parable of the talents, if I don't make mine grow, then what have I done with what God gave me? He said mm-hmm. to the one, which we didn't finish this story, that kept his gift. So he hid it. God said, take it away from him because he's not worthy of having it. Now, we have a whole lot of dynamics in our economy today and in the world and the cultures that we've been exposed to and the systems that operate the cultures. So there's a whole lot more to that than meets the eyes, like the tip of an iceberg. We know what we see, but we don't know what's underneath the water.
That's
so
right.
there's a lot of studying we have to learn. And we have to minister what we have to one another so God can bring us more. And that's
yeah.
the principle behind that.
Wow. That's like I said, the
relation.
The more you
see. Exactly.
That's,
he said that.
The more you're going to get.
It's better to give. Better to give than to receive. Better. And I don't know about you, but I love giving to people. Except when I look and I don't have anything, then it's like, okay, who's giving to me? And God is like, check your stewardship. Who'd you give to? What was your motive behind the giving? And how is it that you don't have what you need because you gave it to somebody else?
Awesome.
So there's a balance in there. And if your natural inclination is that of a giver, then you can give away all your stuff and not have enough for yourself. And that means you're not doing that right.
Exactly.
So I said, well, what do I do about it, God? He said, ask me first.
Ask God first. He's going to leave it right up
right.
there. What did we do again? He said, do what?
Ask God first.
A-S-K. Ask. And you shall receive, seek,
that's
you
right.
shall find,
that's
knock,
right.
and the door will be open.
There you go.
At that note, we thank you, we appreciate you for your time, for all your wisdom that you brought to us. This is available for you and others to receive. All you need to do is go to our Facebook page, Dr. Velmo Union and Joy Brown. Click on Is the Church the Church, and you'll be able to hear this almost within the next 10 minutes. But this is the Pastor's for Punch TV Studios coming to you today. We're thankful again for you joining us, those of you that came in. We'll be back here on tomorrow. You'll see it posted. But for right now, we got to go. And to him that is able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless to our Lord Jesus Christ, we wish you well. We wish you blessings. The Lord be with you. Thank you, Doctor.
Amen. It is my pleasure, Joy, because you really do bring joy in the house. That's just part of your.
Sing unto